Hello, I welcome you. This is Brother Thurman. I'm welcoming you to the ABCs of Christian Growth again, and we're going to have another study today, continuing in our study of the letter B of the concerning the Bible, that wonderful book, written book that God has given us to know His mind and know the way that He thinks and what His will is. And like we was talking about that last week on that last recording, with that warning that I give you, it said this book is habit-forming. Regular use causes loss of anxiety, decreased appetite for lying, cheating, stealing, and hating. And the symptoms are increased sensations of love, peace, joy, and compassion. And that's being conformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ is when we start becoming like that and reading that Bible and letting God the Holy Ghost conform you into the image of what God's Word says. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word. Isn't it amazing how God just, it's kind of like you take your fingers and you just fold them together and how they fit together when you one finger intertwined with the other finger, and you know how you take your hands and just fold them like a double fist, just fold them up like that, and how everything just fits together so perfectly. That's the way the Word of God is. God's Word is so perfect. The Bible says the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation. You know, God's Word is so perfect. In the past, we've talked about the Bible. In the last several recordings that we've had on this, I think we've had about four now. And this will be the fifth, because five comes after four. And y'all already knew that, didn't you? Some of you did, but you wouldn't admit it if you didn't. But what is the Bible? We talked about that and how many books were in the Bible and how it was divided into the Old and the New Testament. And then we also spoke and learned that the Old Testament, how many books the Old Testament has. And do you remember how many that is? 39 books, remember? And in the New Testament, 27 books. And they were divided, both Testaments are divided into categories. The Old Testament was what? It was the writings of the law, history, the poetical, the wisdom or psalm books, and then prophecy or the prophets. And then in the prophets, the books were split in two, remember? Categorized as two different books, one called the major and one called the minor. Do you remember the difference in that? What we learned a couple times before this recording, the major and minor prophets, what the difference is. It's the length of the letter, isn't it? Just simply the length of the letter. Okay, and we found out how many books were involved in each one of those categories, and we also talked about the New Testament and the categories that it has, the Gospels, the transitional book of the Acts of the Apostles. Then we talked about the epistles. And epistles means what? Means letters, doesn't it? And there were two types of, there was a split in the letters there, or a defining factor in the letters. One of them was called the Pauline epistles, and one of them is called the general epistles. You remember the difference in them? One of them was brought about by Paul the Apostle, and the others were brought about by apostles other than Paul, right? The general epistles. And then one book was in category there as by itself was prophecy. And that book is what? Revelation. That's right. Okay, and we went into another part, I think it was last week, how did we receive the Bible, or might even been the week before also. And we talked about inspiration. And We read that one verse, if you remember, for the prophecy, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now that verse right there is going to come in handy. Of course, all of them do. But that verse right there is going to be part of what we study in God's Word today concerning the things that we're going to study today. God used human writers to pen his words. He used human writers to speak his words and to pen his words. He used about anywhere from about 36 to 40 different men from all walks of life and to write down the Bible. And this was accomplished over a period of 1,600 years. Isn't that amazing? The Bible was originally written, the Old Testament was originally written in what language? Hebrew. Okay, and parts of it in what? Parts of Daniel and parts of Ezra were written in what? Aramaic. That's right. And the New Testament was originally written in street-speaking Koine Greek. Remember? Just regular old street-speaking Greek. And then we found out that God authored the Bible. The Bible says God authored it. The Bible calls Jesus Christ the author and finisher of our faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Oh, see how intertwined all this is, all the truth, and how intertwined all the truth is. It is wonderful. What an idiot would try to out-manipulate, and all of us are that way sometimes in our lives before God finally slaps us across the head and says, wake up and cut it out. You know, we try to be smarter than the Lord. When you start loving the Lord and really admiring Him and admiring His Word and see how His Word lives and see how beautiful His Word is and how only God could have put these words together and brought this wonderful, inspired, supernatural book about, you haven't seen anything yet. Wait and watch God the Holy Ghost teach you some things as you keep studying. And that's what this study here is all about. Just the ABCs of Christian growth. And some of y'all are just going to giggle in your chairs there. Worship the Lord in your heart over some of the things that the Holy Ghost teaches you and how pure His Word is. But we learn the way in which God gave us the Bible, and that was called what? Inspiration. And to inspire just simply means to take in air and to breathe air in and make words with it. That's all we do whenever we speak is we exhale air out of our throats, and our tongue manipulates that air and makes sound. And that's how we receive the Bible, was through the Holy Ghost overshadowing men, holy men of God, and inspiring them to speak out loud His words in His sense, and then another person sitting there with a pen and paper and writing down those words exactly as God inspired the man to speak. That's called inspiration. And we went over that. Now, the thing that we're going to talk about today is, do we have the Bible today? Do we have the Bible today? And this might take a couple lessons because we're going to have to clear some things up or not go into real long detail about them. But there's things that we have to know. There's a saying going around, and it's in Christianity today, and it's among most of the educated men and women. And they're caught up in this thing called original manuscripts. And original manuscripts are like the old funny papers you go to a flea market or something, or go somewhere, a museum or something like that, and you see an old piece of paper or an old book sitting there, and it's kind of impressive because it's so old. And one thing that attracts people to look at an ancient book or an ancient piece of paper that is how preserved it is. I mean, it's been around a long, long time, and that's the exception to the rule, you know, because paper decays. Everything leans toward decay and destruction and rot. for a piece of paper to be around that long with signatures and writing on it and stuff like that, it's kind of attractive. And we look at it and watch it and look at it and are impressed and say, wow, look at that. Well, that's the way it is. That's reality. That's truth. Okay, but this imaginary hocus-pocus original manuscript thing going on in Christianity is deceit. And what it has to do with, the bottom line of it is that it's who you choose to worship, who your final authority is. And the original manuscripts, the saying of the original one, the original manuscripts, that the way it's being said today, is that they were the only things that were inspired, supernatural, about God's Word, the original manuscripts. Now, it's funny that anybody on planet Earth today has never seen the original manuscripts. Anybody today does not own a copy of the original manuscripts. Nobody can stand up and honestly before the Lord say, I have put my eyes on the original manuscripts, other than just pieces of paper and documents that are old and have been retrieved and things like that. But as far as having the original manuscripts, there's no such thing. Okay, the original manuscripts of the Bible have long been gone. Now, God promised to preserve His Word, and we talked about that last recording. He either has preserved them original manuscripts that were originally written down by the original writers, by the original scribes, by the original inspiration that He gave to the men that wrote the words down. But God didn't say that He was going to preserve the men that He inspired to write His words. He said He was going to preserve His words that He inspired the men to write, didn't He? He said, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And then the Lord said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Well, since then, since the men were inspired, that originally, the original inspired men that wrote down the original words of God, they have passed away. They're gone. Their body's been eaten by worms long ago. Okay, and they are with the Lord. But now, the original manuscripts, the physical papers, papyrus or whatever it was written on, and I don't mean any disrespect when I say that. I just mean whatever it was written on. I wasn't there. I don't know what they wrote. They say they rolled up papyrus. It was leather and it was paper and it was this. I don't know, but it was something that could be written on. Okay, and they rolled this thing up, or they wrote on it. Well, it stayed around for a while, and they found this piece of paper and that piece of paper and fragments of other pieces of paper and all these pieces of paper that are so old and stuff like that that have writings and stuff like that, and that's fine. That's all fine and dandy, but that does not put God in any kind of barrier at all. God said He's going to preserve His words. Now, either He preserved those manuscripts, and if He preserved them, if He preserved those original manuscripts, then we as Christians and English-speaking people would still have to have our words in English and would still have to understand. Do you read Portuguese? Do you read Chinese? Do you read any other language other than English or understand any other language than English? If you do, fine, but you had to learn how to do that, right? I mean, you wasn't born speaking seven languages, was you? Okay, but talking about these original manuscripts, like I said, I don't want to get too far too deep into this thing, because it's not, we're not supposed to. The Lord said for us to avoid things that bring about questions and you never get answers to. Okay? So the original manuscripts are gone. And nobody has a copy of them for to show anybody. And if they did, man is so corrupt nowadays, he'd charge you to see them. And he'd charge you for the Word of God. But God didn't say he was going to preserve original manuscripts. He said he was going to preserve his Word. That's what he said. And the way that the Lord has done that is through making copies of his Word down through history. Because paper and pencil wear out. Okay? But yet, God is God, and God has the power to take his words, his original words that he had the men speak and the men to write down, and then they were copied down through history, and he has the power to preserve the sense and the power of his words down through history. You know how many Bible book burnings there were in history where they collected all the saints' Bibles and threw them in fires and burned them and everything else and everything else? Well, God didn't disappear and his words didn't disappear. Why did God make it an issue to preserve his word anyway? Because he knew somebody was going to try to get rid of it. Why did he make it make a promise to us that he was going to preserve his words from this generation forever? Because he knew that the devil and his angels and the unclean spirits and everybody else, the haters of God, and now the fundamentalists, are going to try to turn apostate against God's word and get rid of it, or either counterfeit it. Okay? So the original manuscripts, when you hear that, just throw up a flag. A flag should go up that the Bible says for us to neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, but rather godly edifying, which is by faith, so do. In other words, anything that just has to have a question after question after question, well, what about this? Well, what about this? Or what about this? We're supposed to just dismiss that altogether. And that's the way this original manuscript business is. It's trying to get the Christian to worship the original manuscripts, and to respect and honor the original manuscripts, which they cannot be shown, cannot be read, cannot be seen. And it's something imaginary that does not exist today. And the only ones that can tell you what the original manuscripts said are so-called scholars and the educated in Christendom nowadays, which is also a lie. God the Holy Ghost is our teacher, and I can learn it in a barn sitting by myself with God's Word opened in front of me with a King James Bible and learn just as much as I can from one of these universities that's supposed to be so highly elevated up in the big hoop-de-doo stuff. And I'm not saying all the ones that are honest and are being honest before the Lord, God bless you. But all the ones that are doing this foolishness with these original manuscripts, so-called funny paper, blah, 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 shame on you. Okay? Because you're going to get yours. The Bible, when the Lord Jesus Christ told those Pharisees, he says, you're going to receive the greater damnation. And buddy, if you don't think some of you guys messing with God's word and fooling around with God's flock and with his people, you don't think that's going to come out at the judgment seat of Christ, you're out of your stinking mind. Because the Lord is just writing this stuff down, and he keeps accurate records, and he's going to deal with you about this mess. But as far as all of you listening to this and us trying to learn God's word together, you don't have to have any other man to teach you. God gives you people in your life to teach you, but make sure that the people that are teaching you are, when the bottom line comes to the bottom line, they're pointing you toward the Word of God. As long as they're pointing you toward the Word of God in their teaching and in their words, and they say, the Bible says, then you're okay. But as soon as they start talking about the imaginary stuff, like the original manuscripts and things that you cannot never get your eyes or your ears or you cannot associate yourself with, then watch out. So, the original manuscripts, do we have the Bible today is what we're talking about. Now, the original manuscripts of the Bible have long been gone. Does that mean we no longer have the pure, inspired Word of God, as God promised He would preserve in this generation? And forever He promised that He would preserve them. Does that mean we don't have them? We either do or we don't. Okay? God either is or He isn't. One or the other. If God is keeping His Word pure and is preserving it today, this would mean that He's doing it through pure copies of the Word of God, wouldn't it? I mean, think about it now. We ain't got to be real smart to figure this out. How has any book survived? The longest book that's ever been around and lasted, how did it survive? It survived by copies, didn't it? When somebody writes a book, what's the first thing they want to do? If they want to get it to the masses, they go and make copies of it. I mean, you ain't got to be an educated person to figure this thing out. It's only the ones that are trying to do some underhanded, dishonest things with God's Word that are trying to confuse you. And you know who the author of confusion is, don't you? Okay. So we either have God's Word or we don't. Bottom line. Okay, now I ain't got no problem with it. I know we have God's Word. I know I have God's Word, and I know it's here. God the Holy Ghost has identified His Word with me, and I know it's here. I got absolutely no problem with it, and I got peace about it, and you should too. And the only time, and I can tell you in my life, that the enemy has went out of his way to try to steal God's Word from me more than many different ways. Trying to take it to God's Word, but the people that are honest with God's Word, that want to know God's Word, and are seeking the Lord's wisdom and seeking the Lord's understanding and not out for self-edification and self-praise and money and all these foolish things, but are out to give God the glory and to give God thank you, God reveals His mysteries and secrets to them. You read that. So, either the Lord's preserving His Word or He's not. Okay, and He's doing it through pure copies of the Word of God. And has God ever made a copy of His Word? Is there anything in the Bible that proves that God has affiliated His words with copies? Is there anything in the Bible, any instances in the Scriptures that would show us that God has indeed used copies and still called them His Word and associated Himself, His holiness and His Godhead, and associated Himself and His person as God with these copies? Is there such thing as that? The answer is yes, and we're going to look at those. But the first few things we want to look at here, and we've done a lot of talking in this, but I told you this was necessary, and this is necessary to understand about this original manuscript foolishness. Don't waste your time on it. And we've already gone way into this lesson, and that's okay. That's okay, because we're going to take our time and do this. Okay, but the Bible says in Psalm 12, 6, and 7, that the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Now, Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, and these are two prominent verses that we've been using since we've been studying the Bible. And there are the Bible talks about the Word so much, and we will use different scriptures, so don't worry about it. But heaven and earth shall pass away, but My words shall not pass away. Now, the Lord promised that they wouldn't pass away. He promised that He would preserve them, and He promised that it would be from this generation forever. Now, not only did God give His word, but He also promised to what? What's the promise? God promised to give us His word, and He did. But He also promised to do what? He also promised to preserve it. And how long did He promise to preserve it? Now, don't answer it from me. Answer it from the Word of God. Not only did God give us His Word, but He promised to what? He promised to preserve it. Okay, and He preserved it from what? As far as length, how long did God promise to do it? From this generation, and that could be from the generation that the writer was in at the time, or it could be the generation that we're talking about right this very second, and the generation before us, and the generation. It doesn't matter. From this generation, and that's some of the unique writing that the Lord puts in His Word that nobody can manipulate. From this generation means all generations, doesn't it? From this generation, for how long? Forever. Forever. So, there's a promise there. Now, either we have God's words, and this is just common Koine English that we're studying here, and street speaking English, and we're all studying in English right now. Okay, so God promised to preserve it from this generation forever, and either God is preserving it, or He is a liar. And God is not a liar. The Bible not only says that God that God doesn't lie, but it says that God cannot lie. Isn't that one thing that's wonderful about our Lord, is that you have a God that lives, the only one and true God that lives, and He cannot lie to you. You never have to worry about God lying to you. I'm glad about that, aren't you? So, do we have the Bible today? Well, according to the Lord, yes, we do. How has God preserved His Word? Well, we're going to progressively get into that and show you in the Scriptures that God has used men and used copies. Okay, God has providentially kept His Word from destruction and from corruption in two different ways. Down through the centuries, the Lord has raised up men who love His Word and had a love for His Word to keep it from harm. Now, you can read church history and you can find that some of these men's mission and some of these men's calling was to keep God's Word. And they suffered and they died. A lot of people died to keep God's Word around. And God used them for that reason. Zealous Jewish patriots and then some Bible-believing Christians have kept the Scriptures available to all generations ever since the Lord had it written down. Ever since the Lord Jesus Christ went back, ascended back to the right hand of the Father and sat down, started having His Word written and putting in the written form, and then had it assembled and had it put all together. And we are in the generation to where we have the finished and complete Word of the living God that's available to us and to the entire world. And that was the intention of the Lord, was to spread His Word to the entire world before His return. And it's getting close. Now, Satan has on numerous occasions attempted to remove the Bible from the face of the earth. From the face of the earth, to get rid of it completely. Hellish decrees have seen the Bible banned, burned, banished, and battered by scornful men. And you ought to read some of those histories, what they've done to people that own the Bible. We have countries in this world today that if you're caught with a Bible, you're in for some trouble, buddy. You are in for some trouble. That book, why would somebody cut a man's arm off or kill a man or put a man in prison for life for a book? For a book? Come on. There's something about that book. There's something about that book. And we know what it is, don't we? We know the one that's in it, through it, and inspiring it. Yes, we do. So how has God preserved His Word? He did it through men. He done it through patriots. He done it through men that He called to keep it. He not only authored it, not only spoke it, not only had it written down, but He had men keeping it safe and bringing it down through history. And then the Hebrew text of the Old Testament has been faithfully preserved by fastidious Jewish scribes. It's called the Masoretic text. That's where we got our Old Testament from. If you go look at a Jewish Bible, the Masoretic text, and you go look at that, now it's assembled differently than what our King James Bible is, but every word in that Masoretic text is exactly like our King James Bible in the Old Testament. It's just not assembled the same way. The Greek text of the New Testament's been faithfully preserved in what is called the Textus Receptus, which means received text. From this is where the English-speaking authorized King James Bible originates, also known as the Protestant Reformation text. Now, a lot of words there, but nothing to be scared of. It's just where our Bible comes from and how we got it. It's the first Bible to be printed in the United States. It began to be worked on in 1604 and came about in 1611. The authorized 1611 King James Bible has been translated into over 160 major languages and over 200 minor languages, also 300 dialects. Now, do we need to understand Hebrew and Greek to know the Bible? The answer is no. No, you do not. And you tell all the Hebrew and Greek scholars that this dummy said, that told you that you don't have to, if you speak English, you don't need to know Hebrew and Greek to understand what God wants for your life and what the very words of God and the sense are, because you got an English Bible. The preservation of God's Word extends to our English Bible. God is the one that brought all the languages about. You don't think that He could write a Bible in every language on the planet Earth? You don't think so? And preserve it and call it His own and as being inspired and supernatural? You don't think so? Man, you don't know much about the Lord then, do we? I know He does. And I know He can. And I know He did. And I believe God. Don't you? Of course. The only version of the Bible translated from the Masoretic text, which is the ones that the Jews have now, and the Textus Receptus, out of 214 and counting English Bibles on the market today, is the King James Bible of 1611, also known as the Authorized Version. Now, I'm not trying to get you to use the King James Bible. I'm telling you that the King James Bible is the Word of God. And you use whatever you want to use and help yourself. It's still a free country right now. But you're wasting your time. When you hold a copy of the King James Version Bible, you hold in your hand the very words of the living God. The very words of the living God. There's no such thing on planet Earth today as a person owning a Bible and it not being a copy. You own a copy, I own a copy, and everyone else owns a copy of the Bible. What's the big deal? You'll see that. Not a big deal, and never has been a big deal for the Lord. He has in the past and through history, and even now, is still putting out preserved, pure copies of His Word. There's been over 809 million copies of the King James Version since 1611. Okay? So do we have the Bible today? Yes, we do. And the Lord has not missed a step, and He hasn't. There hasn't been a question mark in God's plan concerning His Word, not one second. And man has not stopped God from His purpose with His Word, and has tried. And there's even been Christians that have gone over to the devil's side and fooling with His Word. And there's been Christians that have done that and have renounced it and apologized to the Lord publicly for messing with His Word. And God the Holy Ghost will give you peace about God's Word. And if you have no reason, if God the Holy Ghost has not led you away from the King James Bible, then don't leave it. Then don't question it. Don't ask questions. God's Word is God's Word. And how do you know God's Word is God's Word? Because the power is behind it. God's power is behind His words. And you'll see that as we go through this. You can tell already, can't you? I know, and you know. So do we have the Bible today? The answer is yes. So let me give you some scriptures here, and we're going to stop. And we'll go into our next lesson find out. And I'm going to show you in the scriptures where God is not ashamed to use copies and identify His holiness and His Godhead with copies and call them His, okay? And then you can rest and have peace about this crazy thing that these people or the devil's brought about, and just go on and learn His Word, okay? The things that we, the scriptures that we had today is Psalm 12, 6 and 7, and Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. And next lesson, we're going to be going into Deuteronomy, and we're going to be studying some scripture in there, and we'll get into some more scriptures, and you'll get to see this thing open up, and the Holy Ghost will make it beautiful for you, like He has me. So God bless you, and you have a wonderful, wonderful evening. And thank you for listening to this, and stay in that book. God bless you. Bye-bye.